A little bit, talk a little bit about the place of unity. Now, I probably won't say anything you hadn't heard before, but I probably may say something you forgot. I mean, that's pretty easy to do, to forget things. But I want to talk about the importance, the significance of we, all of us together, abiding and staying unified. And the depthness of unity, so important. And I'll be talking about that in hopefully on a maybe a little bit deeper level than what we've thought about before. You know, Jesus tells us over in Luke chapter 11, verse 17, that a house or a kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself will fall. And we know that to be true. United we stand, divided we fall. That's true for a nation. That's true for a family. That's true for a church. That's true for any organization. So Satan's strategy is to try to bring division in a home, in a nation, in a church, in any way he can. That's how he operates. But you see, God, Jesus prayed for us in John chapter 17 that we would all be one, that the whole body of Christ would be one. I know we have different denominations spread across the world. Some denominations think they're more spiritual than others, they're more favored than others, and, you know, they think, well, you know, it's all these type things, but God wants us to agree with the unity that Jesus has already prayed. Now, unity in the body of Christ, it's not so much being like each other as it is all of us being like Jesus. How many of us, if we'll all endeavor to operate like Jesus, we will be in the unity that he prayed for, right? So I want to give you a couple definitions of unity. Well, more than a couple, there's a few here. Unity means oneness, the state of being one or united, something complete in itself, the quality of being one in spirit, purpose, harmony, agreement, togetherness. An arrangement of parts in a work of art or literature that will produce a single harmonious effect. Oneness as in spirit, aims, interests, feelings, and so forth. Diverse but together for the whole or overall good. Remaining together even when apart. And see, that was what happened with us at our kids' crusade every night. We were unified around a theme. The goodness of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. That was our theme throughout the crusade. So we were unified with that. We wanted our children to understand that God is a good God. So every night that verse was released. And every night through the teaching and the ministry, our teachers up here and our singing brought about that theme because we wanted to get that across. So we were unified in that. And that made it so good. That made it taste good. That made it flow good because we were unified in our purpose and in our aim. And that's how we have to do here at the church. So unity has to be protected. We have to protect our unity. How do you protect it? With words, with our thoughts, with our attitude, and with our dedication. We have to protect unity. You know, because Satan will try to get, even in your thought life. You know, I want to put something out for us to think about and to do. The next time you're thinking about someone and you want that, an enemy's trying to get you to think negative, refuse that negative thought. And immediately just start, call that person by name and say, right now, my thoughts about you are beautiful. I'm thinking kind thoughts about you. I'm thinking good thoughts about you. And I wish you the very best. And I call you lovely. I call you blessed. I call you beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. That will make all the difference in the world. So our words toward the church has to be the same. Because folks, hear me this morning. The enemy loves to get us to take our... God has to have our words. Us saying his word. Satan has to have words. He can't do anything without our cooperation and participation. He needs words. He needs thoughts. Don't give them to him. Amen. So God wants us to be unified in words. Oh, our church is a good church. Our church is anointed of God. Our church is a blessed church. Our body is a blessed body. We're working together for the good of God's glory. We're working together for the good of God's kingdom. And so you have to say that. Now listen, throughout the years, the reason Church Alive has done all the things we've done, because of unity. Now, have we had issues? Sure, we've had issues. Have we had little disagreements? Sure, we've had little disagreements. Have we been diverse sometimes? Sure, we have. But when the rubber meets the road, we all have come together for one common purpose, and that is to do the will of God. Someone said a vision of God is only safe in praying people's hands and people who will follow the Holy Spirit. That's the only time a vision is safe. And many times in working together for God, you know, we really, God doesn't want us to pick and choose what part of the vision we like. And those that are closest to the vision sometimes can do the most harm, I guess you could say. And I say it like that because sometimes when you're engaged and you're part of the vision, you just love it. You know, those that's part of youth ministry or part of children's ministry, and you get to do the drums or the singing or whatever. I mean, that's your grace gift, and that's the part that you excel in. But we also have to remember there's a nursery back there that's anointed of God. There's a nursery back there with little babies and little children in it whom are just as valuable as anybody in this church. Amen. They're just as important as anyone. And they need anointed teachers back there. And they need us to support them with our thoughts, with our word, and realize that hey, those babies back there need the very best, and they deserve the very best right now. Same way with preschool. Same way with children. Same way with youth. You know, it may not always be our preference, but how many knows vision ought to have the preeminence over our preference? We ought to say, Father, I want to see the good. Oh, Lord, I tell you, Tuesday night when we started the crusade, and last Sunday as well, when I saw some of these little children up here, knowing how that the enemy had tried to target them, to try to hurt them, to try to harm them emotionally, or try to, you know, just create a pain in their life. And then to see them up front here, I mean, man, that's worth everything. It's worth everything in the whole world that we would reach out. So the Bible says in Ephesians 4:3, when I said we have to protect unity with our words, with our thoughts, with our attitude, with our dedication, we have to be unified together and to say, I agree. I agree with the pulpit. I agree with the doctrine of the church. Amen. I agree with the vision of the church. Amen. How many knows it's one thing, and I'll get to this a little bit later in the message. It's one thing for all of us to get together in one room. That doesn't necessarily mean unity. That means that there's a gathering. Unity is when you have the same thoughts, same words, same attitude, and you're pulling together even if you don't quite understand everything. Amen? That is unity. So the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, but I'm going to read verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, and meekness. Lowliness here means humbleness, and meekness means gentleness. He said, with long suffering. That's Ephesians 4, 2, if you want to put it up. With long suffering, forbearing one another in love. What's that forbearing mean? It means to bear with. It means to make allowances for. It means to put up with. How many knows we're not perfect? Now, it's easy on a honeymoon. Everything is a honeymoon. But after the honeymoon is a real life story. And that's the way it is when, you know, in church, you know, we can be excited. Oh, my, it's so wonderful. But the honeymoon stage kind of dwindles, and we have to learn to live with each other. We have to learn to say, well, you know, I have forbearance in my heart. I have forbearance. And also one good thing we should do as mature people is be a person of supportive prayer. Is to say, well, if you disagree or if you think, well, you know, I would rather see something different, go to the Father and say, Father, I'm praying about that, and I'm going to pray about that and ask for your will to be done, and God's will be done. Amen. So it tells us here in forbearing one another in love, then endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now the word endeavoring, notice what it means: eager to maintain, continue with eagerness to maintain, giving diligence to keep. So unity just don't happen by itself. Unity just don't. We have to protect unity with our words, with our thoughts, with our attitude, outside the church, around the dinner table. When you see someone out in the grocery store, are you going to have your one of your friends to come up, and there's a little pet peeve, and you want to talk about it in a negative sense? That's not endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So we have to protect unity, because unity has God's blessings on it. Unity will take us way, way far. Let me give you this quote here. You know, 10 in unity is stronger than 1,000 in division. And when the Lord defeats the adversary in our life, he puts confusion in the camp of the enemy. You read Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Whenever Jehoshaphat was outnumbered, he didn't know what to do. But God said, if you will put praisers on the front line, I will set ambushmen in the realm of the spirit, and the enemy will be confused, and strife will be there, and they will turn on each other, and victory will be yours. Well, the Bible says, he says, if we bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. So we have to guard unity. Guard it wherever you are, all the time. That's our responsibility. Could we look back over 38 years of Church Alive and full gospel house of prayer? I mean, really, the size of this church and the location of this church, and naturally speaking, if we had not been in unity, we could have never done the things that we've done. We could have never reached all the children and all the youth and all the adults and given as much as we've given and accomplished what we've accomplished without unity. But thank God for unity. Thank God we're in unity. But to do what God wants us to do in the future, we're going to have to stay and protect the unity. Amen. Verse 4 says, there's one body and one spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling. So God graces us and he gives us the responsibility to protect unity. You know, folks, it's hard to publicly receive someone that you privately talk negative about. Don't ever speak negative about your church. Never, ever. You know, this works in school as well. You know, you can't expect your child to love a principal or a teacher that you're negative about. If you think children don't have ears to hear, they've got good ears. They hear a lot more. When you think they're down the floor playing with a car, noise going on, and you can just kind of talk, well, they're busy, they won't hear. Hey, we better pay attention to that, because they hear much. And they listen a lot. So you can't, you know, I can remember this when Tracy and Jenny were in school. There was one particular teacher that, I mean, many parents had a negative perspective and a negative attitude. Well, you know, you better pray your daughters don't get this so-and-so teacher, so-and-so, da-da-da-da. Well, both of my daughters both of them got him as a teacher, and both of them excelled and done well. Why was that? First of all, we prayed for that teacher. We spoke positive about that teacher. We encouraged our children toward that teacher, and we developed a positive working relationship, and it worked out great. Matter of fact, I went to open house just to meet him and to hear the way he does class, and I was really impressed. I'm thinking it was around the 6th and 7th grade. First of all, he put the assignment on the board. He said, I've write the assignment down where all the students can know exactly what the assignment is. And he said, they're not babies. They don't have to raise their hand and ask me permission to go to the restroom. He said, they just need to nod, and I already tell them up front, I know they're going, and that's fine. He said, I do expect them to come back. And then he said, I'm training them at this age here to learn how to be self-disciplined, and you've got to study for college. Well, sixth grade is not too, that's not too early to start that. So really, I sat there and I thought, well, my goodness, I like this guy. I like his way. I like his format. I like the way he's training and teaching. And ended up both of them had great years there. Why was that? First of all, it was attitude. It was our voice. It was our prayers. Those things make a difference. And it works around the clock. It works that way of all things. It works that way in church. I mean, you've got to speak positive about the teachers in this church. You've got to say, oh, the nursery is wonderful. The nursery is anointed. The children's church is wonderful. The children's church is anointed. Or the youth and we just whatever name you could say. We've got, folks, this work, that's called unity. It's called our support. Amen. You get a whole lot more out of church when you're all in. When you say, Lord, my mind is there, my support is there, my agreement is there, my love is there. It just makes all the difference in the world. Amen. So we have to guard and protect unity. So the place of unity is a place of power and peace. And you can put up, if you'd like, Psalm 133, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I'll read that. Here we go. Say, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Not visitation, but dwell together. Live together. Folks, this marks our maturity and wisdom. Because we're different. Some of you like eggs fried. Some of them like them boiled. Some of them like them raw. Some of them like them scrambled. Some of them don't like them at all. You know, we like different things. We like different colors, different automobiles. We're wired differently. But that does, God likes diversity, but not division. Amen. So maturity comes in when we're able to love each other, respect each other, and honor each other, even though we may see things a little bit different. So when we dwell together, see, that's like a marriage. The honeymoon is the honeymoon. But after the honeymoon is living. You can go visit another church. And when you go, possibly, it'll feel like a honeymoon. But if you go long enough, you have to learn how to live within that church. Live within the workings of that body. Amen? And that's a sign of maturity. That's a sign of wisdom. And how can I say this? A pastor is not a dumb pastor. And sometimes, you know, your sensitivity is so strong the Holy Spirit allows you. I can sense people's thoughts. I can sense their attitude. I can sense their agreement or disagreement. I can sense whether they're all in or one foot in and one foot out. I can sense that. And so, you know, you just pray. You say, but Lord, help us to realize that we all need to understand how valuable this is and how good this is. Now, everybody will have a day, baby. And we all need adjustments. I need to adjust me. You need to adjust you. We all need to adjust. But he says how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, what's it like? What is this unity like? What's it compared to? It's like the precious ointment upon the head. Ointment represents anointing. It's where the anointing flows. It's where progress is made. It's where power is released. It's where goodness is, where God is able to break out and do many things. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down through the skirts of his garment. In other words, unity says God's covering this place with his presence. Hallelujah. And in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. And it's the anointing that will remove burdens and destroy yoke. It's the anointing, glory to God. God's not impressed with talent because he gives talent. He's the giver of talent. We love talent. We love, you know, part of the crusade, Josh and Jenny and Dan and Derek and some of the older ones got up here, and I've commented about that, how they did another one of the trash can ministry thing just with them. It was all good, but I appreciate them doing that because there was so much talent in that. But yet God is not so impressed with talent as he is heart, as he is dedication, as he is attitude, as he is words out of our mouth, as he is just having a meek and quiet spirit, lowliness and humbleness to say, I'm there to be an important role. My love, I'm going to bless my church. I'm going to bless my congregation. I'm going to bless the people of our ministry. Folks, this is all about unity. That's where unity is. That's where the anointing will flow. And it's good when we dwell together in unity. Amen. What else is it compared to? First of all, it's the anointing. Then verse 3, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded blessing, even life evermore. So there's a commanded blessing in unity. I mean, look back over the history of this church. All the things that God has blessed us to do, it had to be because we love each other and we're unified. We're in unity. We do this together. Amen. But you see, the reason I'm preaching this morning, we have to protect this. It's worth protecting. How many believes unity is worth protecting? How many believes unity is worth guarding with our words, with our mind, with our attitude? It's worth guarding. Any home, if you want your home to fall, let there be disunity come in your house. If you want any business to crumble, let there be disunity come. But if you want it to excel, then let unity prevail. Let the unity of the Lord prevail and great things will happen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. So a place of unity is a place of power. So I said this a while ago. 10 in unity is greater than 1,000 in confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. James chapter 3 says, where there is envy and strife, verse 16, there is confusion and every evil work. You see, God needs our cooperation, our participation, and so does the adversary, the enemy, the devil. The devil's got to have help. He can't do it by himself. He can't. He cannot. But we're the body of Christ. And when the body is unified and we're flowing together, great things happen. Now look at this all-powerful verse here, Paul writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, notice how he does it, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He uses the highest authority that there is in the whole universe, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Well, now, Brother Drew, I just can't speak everything you do. Well, speak life, speak mercy, speak grace, speak love, speak unity. That you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Man, Paul, see, the church at Corinth had spiritual gifts. They had many good preachers and teachers and apostles in that church, but Paul had to tell them, but you've got to be unified. There's a lot of gifts in your church. There's a lot of talents at the church of Corinth, but you've got to be unified. He said, I want you all to speak the same thing. What was going on? They were having a preference. Some were saying, Paul baptized me. Well, Cephas baptized me. This one, Paul said, I'm glad I didn't baptize very few of you, in case some of you said I baptized in my own name. He said, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So Paul was having to tell the church at Corinth how valuable that unity is. Now, folks, unity is so important. Now, we understand, I'm not saying anything you don't already know. This is to remind us. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to have the same heart, same mind, same words, same purpose, same vision. Unity is a sign of maturity and wisdom. Maturity and wisdom. That's what it's a sign of. Is that I'm wise enough to keep unity. I'm mature enough to guard the words of my mouth. I'm mature and wise enough to watch my conversation in and outside the church. I'm mature enough to have positive thoughts and not think negative. I'm mature enough and wise enough to speak nothing but goodness and kindness and blessings. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is good. Because we're going somewhere. You know, Brother Chris and I, we chat about every day. And I tell him, I say, Chris, you know, God is wanting us to learn. And folks, there's a deeper level of wisdom. There's a deeper level that God's wanting to take us in our own life so we can do life better together. And understand the attacks of the adversary. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we're not ignorant of his devices. So Satan does have devices. One device is called mind games. We don't want to play the mind game. We want to, I know that praise steals the enemy. Can I tell you something else that the devil really bothers him? Is silence. When he can't get you to talk. When he can't get you to, you know, to say what he wants said. He needs some stuff said. He's not going to have my tongue to do it. God needs some stuff said. He needs your tongue and my tongue and our tongue to say it. Amen. So unity means a bright future. Now you're familiar with Genesis chapter 6, you know, it's called the Tower of Babel. And that reason it's called the Tower of Babel because God confounded their language and they babbled. They couldn't understand each other. But I wanted you to notice a principle of unity in verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Look how powerful that is because of unity. Go to, let us go down and confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. But what I wanted you to see here was God himself said at the Tower of Babel, these people are such unity, there's imagination that kicks in. I mean, could they have built the Tower to Heaven? I don't know, but it bothered God. There was something about it that because the Babylonian system, which means we can do it without God, but we can't do anything without God. This world has a Babylonian system in it, which wants to tell us, I can make it on my own. I can earn my own money. I don't need God. I don't need to tithe. I don't need to give. I can make it on my own. Remember, we work and we earn, but we give and there's a harvest with the giving. Amen. But a Babylonian system, it says we can do it without God. God says you can't do it without me. But the one way God had of stopping them from reaching their flesh goal, their pride goal, was to confound their language. But I wanted you to see the principle here. They had so much unity in their word, so much unity that their imagination was working together. Hallelujah. And then the Bible tells us here, nothing that they set out to do would be an impossible. So the first step to disunity is confound the language. Getting the people to talk against or talk in a different direction. Y'all not saying amen very well this morning, but I hope you're listening. See, the enemy wants us to talk his language. The Lord showed me this in prayer not long ago. I could see, this could be for any of us, I could see how the enemy would plant a thought in someone's mind concerning me or you or anybody. And then, with that thought in mind, you start saying the thoughts. And it could feel harmless. But anything the devil is in is not harmless. Anything Satan's messing with is not harmless. Never. It's always got a snake in it. But I could see how thoughts would come in people's mind, and I could see people expressing opinions. Well, when that come out of their mouth, it was in the earth realm, then it came and would hit Loretta or hit me or hit you, then I would have the same thought now. And the Lord said, don't agree with the adversary. So I have a choice. I can either take the same thought and I can start speaking back. What have you done? You've just agreed with the adversary. But if you're silent and you choose to think different, to speak different, and not to engage in a way that you know grieves the Holy Spirit, then I'm telling you the enemy is defeated that way. But Satan wants to, he likes to confound languages. He wants us to talk against or talk in a different direction, talk other than. Well, I just don't agree with that. Well, I wish it would be done that way. Well, I mean this about Gerald and this about Steve and this about Eric and this about Jackie and this about Bob, blah, blah, blah. Well, folks, we don't need to do that. Ever. This thing is spiritual and it's more serious than we realize, and it's deeper than shallow water. Amen? But isn't it amazing that what these folks set out to do could have been done. Nothing would have been restrained because they talked the same. Their imagination, their creativity just kicked in gear. So notice creativity is birthed in unity, and now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Nothing is out of reach. Hallelujah. So that's why we must protect unity at our house, husbands and wives and children and grandchildren, at the church, on the job. Let any corporation you work for, any business you work for, you let someone try to create strife and unity and division, and that place of business, no matter how wealthy it is, has got an issue that has to be resolved. Has to be. Because it will crumble from within. See, the enemy tries to bring division among in the United States. See, United States of America. Now, do we all have to fully agree? But we can honor each other. We can respect each other. But see, the enemy wants to tear down with words, even over this nation. Or any nation as far as that goes. Amen? But God wants us operating in His love. He wants us to see the big picture. He wants us to say, I'm not going to pick and choose in the vision. I like it all. I love our nursery ministry. Praise the Lord. Don't you, Sister Patty? The reason I say Patty is because I know her heart is as well as others in here. I love our children. I love our youth. I love our singing. I love the trash can drum ministry. Well, you say, Brother Gerald, I don't really understand it, therefore I have no part of it. Well, you need to pray and say, God, show me. Show me, Lord. Show me. Show me your heart. Show me what you're saying about that. Now, are we all, am I always right? No. Are you always right? No. But is love always right? Yes. Is mercy always right? Yes. Is unity always right? Yes. Is agreement with the plan of God always right? Yes, it is. Amen. So we each will bring a blessing to the vision. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Manifold means many-sided. See, we will all bring something to the table of unity. Your gifting will be different than mine. Your talent will be different than mine. But we've got to steward that talent. We've got to steward the gift that's within our life. We steward it by prayer. We steward it by our thoughts. We steward it by our words. And we're good stewards to say, I want to bring my best all the time. I want to bring all of me to Church Alive. I want to be all in Church Alive, whether I'm at the building or whether I'm at the job or whether I'm at home or whether I'm at one of my private buddies. Folks, you can't tell me. I hope you all receive this in love. You can't tell me that the adversary will not use a Christian. He sure will. Brother Steve, I want you to pray about something. Now, here's the adversary. This is how he uses people. And he'll just start planting seeds of negativism about somebody, about the church, and you do it in the form of prayer. And it's not prayer at all because you hardly get around to praying. And by the time you get through the negativism, you don't have no anointing to pray. Amen. Silence cannot be repeated. Amen. And it shows how strong you are. Oh, I just got to talk. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're going to blow up. Well, just blow up, but don't talk. Amen. Folks, remember, Satan has to have somebody's voice and words. But it don't have to be yours. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Well, if we don't give him a place, he doesn't have a place. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, are we complete at Church Alive with everything we're supposed to do and will do and can do? No. Do we want more? Yes. Do we have a place in our heart for different flavors? And yes, we do. Amen. But we have to be a good steward of the manifold, many-sided grace of God. A good steward of it. All of us are responsible. That's part of unity. Now, this is in the Living Translation, you can read it in the King James if you'd like, says, just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We're all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do, so we belong to each other, and each needs all the other. I mean, Lord and I have talked about this, you know, back when I was 13, I think it was, that I had to have an appendicitis, sort of take my appendix out. And obviously we need them, or God wouldn't put them in there, but I'm still living without them. And gallbladders, people have their gallbladders taken out, but they still live without them. But really, truly speaking, I need all of my fingers and thumb and toes, and I need my lungs, I need bones, I need ligaments, you do too. We need every part of our body. Well, all of us are needed. But you see, we have to show honor and show respect and say, I am valuable. But our mind has to be into the unity. Our words has to be into the unity. And folks, it's so vitally important outside the church. I mean, any of us come around here and we can put on a happy face. And we, I love you, sister, I love you. And then 3 days later, yeah. That can't be right. And that can't be God. So you see, we have to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit of the Spirit. See, there's a spirit realm that creates atmosphere. There's a spirit realm that we have to, that we're responsible for. And it has to do with our words, thoughts, attitude. Yes. Like the little boy. When the teacher said, sit down, he wouldn't. She finally said, I said, sit down. And he said to himself, I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm standing up. Well, that's not unity. Amen? So you see, folks, this is so important. It's so important for me, for you, for our home, for our nation, for this church. Well, you say, Brother Gerald, why are you saying all that? Because we need to protect unity. God wanted to do something awesome in our life. He's wanting to bless your family beyond. He's wanting to bless your ministry. He's wanting to bless this church even in greater. But He needs our unity to do this. He needs our unity. And unity is so vitally important. Even when we're apart, we're together. We should never feel comfortable speaking evil of one another. Never. Never. Never feel comfortable. Never express negative opinions. Derek Prince says, if you cannot offer thanksgiving for someone first and foremost, then you don't need to be praying for them. Every prayer that you pray for someone, first of all, should be offered up in a prayer of thanksgiving. Father, I thank you for Bob. I praise you, for he's a man of God. I worship you that Bob is anointed. I thank you for him, Father, that he's faithful and dedicated. So you give thanks, then you can pray from there into what God tells you to pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So when we are all in, we all win. Amen. So this is our famous statement that we've used this for years and years. You make a difference. Amen. Your attitude makes a difference. Your mindset makes a difference. Your words make a difference. Makes a difference. We're difference makers. Amen. But you see, remember we had that verse, I'm going to bring us to a close shortly, that verse, long-suffering. Well, there's some things you suffer in. I mean, when you realize, well, you know, I mean, I see this all the time. I see people that feel gifted or however, it could be one thing or another, but I've talked with people which God showed them their life. And they thought it was for now. And it didn't come to pass now. So they were mad at me. They were mad at you and didn't even know you. They were mad at themselves. They were aggravated with God, frustrated. Nobody loves me. Nobody will give me the time of day. I know what God put in my heart. I know what the Lord told me. And I tell you what, He told me that. They won't even ask me to do anything. See, God, I know that that's happened to people, and now I have seen them do the very thing that they knew of 5 years before it happened. But because it didn't happen next week, all frustration got in. That's long suffering. That's long suffering. Whenever you just, folks, when God tells you something, just hold on, it'll come to pass. The Lord showed Brother Hagin the healing revival that came in, I think it was 1948 through 1954 or something like that. 4 years before the revival, he heard it. God told him after World War II there will come a healing wave of revival that will hit America. So he got it. Why did God tell him 4 years ahead of time? I don't know, but he was responsible. When he 4 years, time can go by, time can lapse, and then we start doubting. Well, did God speak to me? Did God really tell me that? I don't know why. I mean, all this type stuff, but folks, we've got to be mature. It's time for maturity in the body of Christ. It's time for wisdom in the body of Christ. Way past time. Amen. So God's working on me, and God's working on you, God's working on us, but the thing that he wants from us is unity, because blessings flow in unity. The glory flows in unity. Creativity flows in unity. Progression flows in unity. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, you know, the enemy will try to get one pastor to preach against another pastor. He'll try to get one denomination to put down another denomination. That's not right. Well, I'll tell you what, that church over there, they compromised. Well, how do you know? They might have a revelation you don't have. They may have a revelation of the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God and the goodness of God, and you think God is a whatever, you know, hardcore. He's a hard taskmaster, and that's your revelation of God, and someone else will teach you mercy, grace, and love. Well, that church over there, the reason they have so many people, they just compromise. It could be a lack of revelation. But can you understand, folks, that we all have to guard? I don't know, you folks that deal with horses in here, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody really ride one very far without a bridle. I mean, there might be some tame enough that you can get on. I mean, I rode a goat one time without a bridle, but he went where he wanted to go and I held on. Years and years ago. But a bridle has to be put in the horse's mouth so you can get control of that huge animal that's much stronger than you. A rudder, I don't know of a ship that can make its destination without a rudder. It's a small rudder, but it has great power. Someone said a person who doesn't take their tongue seriously is like driving a car without taking their steering wheel seriously. So I said all that to say this, and I'm going to bring this to a close. Every day, Gerald Keith Lester needs a bridle. Every day. Every day, first thing when I wake up in the morning, I need a bridle on my tongue all day long. I don't need a half of a split of a second break. All day long. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So I'm saying all this in love to tell each of us, God's working on me, and I'm sure he's working on you, but together, great things can happen. And you say, well, Brother Gerald, why did you bring this message? I don't know. I just know in my spirit what the Lord said to me. I know how he dealt with me, and that's all I can do is feed the way the Lord leads. Amen. So I encourage us this morning together. First of all, I thank you for the many years of your dedication, faithfulness, and commitment. But God wants us to grow deeper. Please understand your thoughts are important. Please understand if you're thinking negative about someone, that is not a good thing. You need to change your mind. Think positive. Believe positive. Speak positive. speak life, speak blessings, and guard unity. Guard it with everything you have. We'll see God do great and mighty things. Finances will flow. Health and healing will flow. Great things will happen. But let me close it by saying this. This is a test of our maturity and wisdom. Say those two words, maturity and wisdom. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Steve, you come and release us in prayer. Praise God.